Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Bitcoin.
Here's John Williams.
Here's a big thought. Kim Gordon, go ahead. Feel free to ask me any question you want about Bitcoin.
Just explain it to me so I get it.
Lord have mercy.
Well, that's more than I really wanted to bite off to chew here. You want me to do what again?
Explain it so I get it.
Hold on. Let the music finish before I cogitate on this. Here we go. Well, Kim, Bitcoin are virtual currency that are not backed by any government gold or insurance policy. They were trading at around $300 a Bitcoin earlier this year, but they've gone up sevenfold to around $2,000. It's a virtual currency. Next question.
And so you can't hold it in your hand.
No, you can't. There's no little
coin. So you just have to just think you have it even if you don't.
It's a Bitcoin. It's a virtual currency. Get with the program.
Okay.
It's the 21st century. I have no idea what it is. I've done two solid interviews about it, and I've come away with no knowledge or information. I don't know what Bitcoin are.
Obviously, they're popular, and obviously, they're worth something.
Well, there's this really good guy we've had on a couple times with this Path Trading here in Chicago, and he's like the Bitcoin guy. And I said, just jump on with me for a minute in a couple of minutes and tell us how we're doing in the Bitcoin trade, because I am kind of curious how it's going, but still I have no information about what they are, how they work, or why.
Well, I know, and you can actually use it to buy things now. If you go in Overstock, you can purchase something with Bitcoin.
Seriously?
Yes.
Somebody call me who has ever made or received and made a purchase with or received as payment a Bitcoin. I'd love to know what that was like.
I'm interested to, you know, is it like using Apple Pay?
Well, because I'll ask the guy this question because, like, say, okay, I bought something. If I received as payment Bitcoin, then can I put that in my, can I translate that into dollars and cents and
right.
put it in my bank?
Right. Is there a currency exchange? Like if I'm buying in euros and I want to transfer it to dollars, does Bitcoin, is it 1-to-1?
Oh,
what's
Kim.
The ratio?
Oh, Kim, it doesn't work
my
that way.
My spinning already.
It doesn't work that way, dear. I have no idea. I don't, but I think he has said that, no, there's no currency exchange. You know, think about it, though. If we did not have governments and gold, and if we didn't have the current currency system, we do. But it was all just like a barter. Like, hey, I'll mow your lawn, and you have a chair. Okay, what is the mowing of the lawn worth? Well, I've got so many chairs. I'll give you two chairs if you mow my lawn. Okay, well, so how will we execute that trade? Well, I know. Let's say that a lawn mow is one Bitcoin. Therefore, the chairs will cost two Bitcoin, half a Bitcoin each, so the two of those chairs would equal one lawnmower. So now I will put in your account the two Bitcoin when you mow my lawn. I think it's something like that. But I don't know. But really, I just want chairs. So I don't know.
I know. And they're saying that people are not, you know, gold is falling because people aren't trading gold now. They're trading Bitcoin, which that just unnerves me.
Yeah, because, and I also think it's a little bit like, okay, I don't know what it is, but I'm not stupid. I'm getting in. If this thing's going to go through the roof, I want to get in on the ground floor. The ground floor, by the way, was last year. But anyway, I could see how people would think, oh, what the hell? You know, my mortgage is upside down. Why don't I try this too? Jim thinks it's a Ponzi scheme, I think. Jim, you're on WGN. What did you want to say?
My name is Jim, and I just think it's some type of a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah.
Where the first ones in, they get rewarded, but after a period of time, when you get many, many people involved,
right,
they start losing money.
And I think, well, you may be right about that. There I am with the $2,000 Bitcoin, and they're going to go, yeah, not so much. It's really worth $178. And then you're totally screwed if you're on the wrong end of that, aren't you?
Correct.
Yeah.
So that's what I think.
Well, when I get to be king, Jim, and I want you to write this down, when I get to be king someday, I'm appointing you Minister of Finance. You will be in charge of these things.
Thank you, and you have a great day.
All right. By the way, you just heard Violetta Podromedic's voice doing WGN radio traffic, as you often do later in the day. Violetta's hours have shifted. While you'll still continue to hear her with Rokan and Anna DeVlantis in the afternoons, you'll now hear her I guess, were you on in the noon hour as well, Violetta?
Yes, I start with the business lunch.
And then continue through this show. So welcome to our little program as well.
Thank you.
It's good to have you in the building and good to have your voice here on WGN. By the way, Kim, Violetta will explain to us Bitcoin. Steve, if you want to write this down, Violetta's going to explain Bitcoin to us.
Get in while it's hot and get out before it's not hot.
Pretty good. That's pretty good.
I actually, I was going to say girl power. Welcome to the show, Violetta.
Thanks.
And second of all, I read about Bitcoin the other day after our show.
Yeah,
I tried to understand it
myself.
Awesome.
Well, then you can explain it to us.
So here's what happens.
Oh, no, wait. I didn't mean actually I want you to explain it to us. Okay.
You mean that?
Well, all right, because I don't want to take the time. I suspect this is going to be a long, drawn-out
security.
Summarize. Okay.
There are two things.
I reserve the right to cut you off at any point. Go ahead.
Sure. You've got two things.
Yeah.
Stock and the Bitcoin itself.
Right.
Cash.
Yeah.
So one of them has gone up in percentage.
Yes.
This is the short form, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one can be used, the cash, to protect big financial industries. That's what I took from it.
Okay.
The whole question, though, is why? Why do we have this? We have money and we have currency. Why do we need this?
Well, let's turn to our expert, Elif.
Because it's another opportunity for you to invest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's for shady transactions where you don't want to pay cash.
Well, that's how it started out.
No, it's the future of transactions. This is what we will be spending everything with one day.
Yeah. You know what we should get? And by the way, Violetta's right. I believe the origin of Bitcoin was for prostitutes and drug dealers, people who didn't have a secure way to exchange services for some sort of monetary reward were using Bitcoin. My estimated probability of accuracy on that is 68%. But Elif, do this. You know what this sounds like? Does anybody know what this whole conversation sounds like that we're having right now about Bitcoin? Does this ring a bell with anybody in tone? When Brian Gumbel and Katie Couric on the Today Show were trying to get their head around, I think it was...
The internet.
It wasn't email. It was the website. So if you wanted to find out more information about this story, if you want more information about the government tax plan, go to, it would be NBC.com or todayshow.com.
And they're like, what is this .com?
Go there. Gumbel could not get his head around the internet. And of course you couldn't. There was nothing like it. So why would you be able to understand the internet and how it works?
And the same comparison, too, is there's no way to secure either of those, right? The internet is not safe and Bitcoin might not be, but you might take your risk anyway.
Elif, let me know when you can find the video of Brian Gumbel having the staff explained to Brian and Katie the World Wide Web. And when you have that, do you have that yet, Elif? Not
yet. There's one now of Matt Lauer saying, what's a harassment policy?
Oh, that's good, Steve. Ooh, that's good.
Too soon.
Well, particularly since Mario Batali today joined the club, I didn't have the heart to tell my wife, although I eventually did via text, but I just said, Mario joined the club, and she's like, no, what? But Mario Batali is no longer on the chew. And it's just stunning to me. You know what's stunning about the Mario Batali thing? He doesn't deny it. He does not deny it. He said, I do not know the women who accuse me of this behavior, grabbing breasts, grabbing somebody's butt, fondling women who did not want to be fondled. He said, while I do not know the women that are specifically leveling the charges, I think because they've been nameless, they're anonymous, I know that my behavior was wrong and was upsetting to people, and I apologize to my fans. And so then he did the whole thing. He goes, yep, me too. Who knows how many yep, me toos there are out there? Lord, I shouldn't be saying me too because that's the hashtag for the victims. But you wonder how many guys out there remain who are going to have to go, holy cow. I have my big three of people that have not yet been exposed, and I don't want to be exposed. Like I'm hoping that these guys ours.
Right, like girls do it with, if this marriage fails, then marriage is all failed.
I know, right. We all have those couples that we're still rooting
right.
for, right?
Right?
So the three guys that I hope we'll never find this out about, because I hope it's not true, are Barack Obama, Ron Howard, Tom Hanks.
Okay, interesting.
You don't think that those are safe bets?
One of those I think is definitely safe.
Okay.
One I think is on the edge, and I don't even... Who's
Tom Hanks. You think Tom Hanks has maybe already been exposed for not being... But I don't mean like... Say you had an affair with somebody while you were married, right? And so then you cheated on your wife or husband.
No, I just think questionable behavior.
Ron Howard?
No, I could see Tom... I don't know. I don't want to say which ones.
Right. Let's not do that. But I think all three of those guys, in my mind, are good, upstart, clean guys whose personas I've enjoyed, I've clung to. I've watched Ron Howard since he was Opie. Tom Hanks is America's great guy. Barack Obama seems to me to be a person of stellar character. So I'm hoping I don't get my heart broke on any of those.
I hope you don't either.
Elif, do you have the audio of, this is the Today Show, Discovering the Internet.
That little mark with the A and then the ring around it.
At.
See, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I'd never heard it. I'd never heard it said. I'd always seen the mark, but never heard it said. And then it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
Just what is this main artery of the information superhighway?
Every business, no matter how long.
Okay, well, that report then goes on to talk about it. But I'm going to find for you the whole thing. But you can't. Gumbel's like, he didn't know what the at symbol was, you know, at NBC. He didn't know what he was doing.
Well, kids now, you think they know the hashtag sign is... Anything, a pounds key?
Right. They, I don't know. I never
it's
thought
a
about
hashtag.
That. Right. Used to, but your point is that kids now only see the hashtag as a way to use hashtags the way we do now on social media, right?
Right.
They don't know it as a pound or anything else previously.
Right. So. Please press pound. Where's that?
It's 119. This is WGN. I want to talk about the Roy Moore story. The big vote in Alabama is tomorrow. There was a conversation Anderson Cooper had with Roy Moore's spokeswoman, person, a lady who sort of had that Kellyanne Conway style of speech down. It was one of the most fascinating, illuminating, hilarious, maddening things you'll ever see. A clip of that will come your way before 2 o'clock. Do we know if Uncle Henry's going to be able to join us in the 2 o'clock hour yet, Elif?
Yes.
Uncle Henry's going to join us.
He is.
Uncle Henry is the political commentator in Alabama who is on, one of the radio networks down there.
He's on iHeartMedia.
iHeartMedia's guy. And so they've got a political commentator there named Uncle Henry. And this said that sounds like shtick. I don't think it is at all. We're going to reach out to him and ask him how's it going to go. By the way, Steve, do you have a guess on that? What are you hearing? Last I saw, Roy Moore was up about 5 to 6 points, something like that.
Well, there was a real clear politics sort of digest of polls that showed him up 4 or 5 points. But there was a Fox poll, I think, that showed Doug Jones up 10 points. So I don't know. I think, you know, most people, they're going to bet, they're betting on Moore right now.
Yeah. Okay, just for the fun of it. So we've been trying to figure out Bitcoin. You know, it's trading for the first full day today on the Mercantile Exchange. And we're all sitting there asking logical questions. We've all had them answered to us. We still don't get it. It's just too new to us. What is amazing to me is that what I'm about to play for you is from 1995, not 1962. This is 1995. Brian Gumbel, Katie Couric and company are on the Today Show. They just did a report about violence. And so now they're told for the first time to tell viewers that they can get more information by going to, what was it, violence@nbc.ge.com. So even that's a little cumbersome maybe by today's standards, but they wanted you to, you can get more information by going to violence@nbc.ge.com. And they did not know what to make of that.
Back now at 56 past, I wasn't prepared to translate that. As I was doing that little tease.
Oh, that's
that
right.
Little mark with the A and then the ring around it.
At.
See, that's what I said.
Mm-hmm.
Katie said she thought it was about.
Yeah. Oh.
But I'd never heard
or
it.
Around.
I'd never heard it said. I'd always seen the mark, but never heard it said. And then it sounded stupid when I said it. Violence at NBC.
Yeah, well, I heard something around big or about fight up in the lunchroom the other
See?
Week.
There it is. Violence at NBC, GE.com. I mean,
Well, what Allison should know.
What is internet
that,
anyway?
Internet is that massive computer
right.
network,
mm-hmm.
the one that's becoming really big now.
What do you mean that's big? How does one? What do you write to it like mail?
No, a lot of people use it and communicate. I guess they can communicate with NBC writers and producers. Allison, can you explain what internet is?
No, she can't say anything in 10 seconds or less.
Allison will be in the studio shortly.
What
does it mean?
It's a giant computer network made up of, started from...
Oh, I thought you were going to tell us what this was.
It's like a computer
the
billboard.
It's a computer billboard, but it's nationwide. Right. And it's several universities and everything all joined together.
And right.
And others can access it.
And, right.
And it's getting bigger and bigger all the time.
It came in really handy during the quake. A lot of people, that's how they were communicating out to tell family and loved ones they were okay because all the phone lines were down.
I was telling Katie, and I've been
talking. But you don't need that. You don't need a phone line to operate internet.
No.
That was 1995. Bill Clinton was president, for crying out loud. I mean, not Millard Fillmore. That was 1995. And just imagine how intertwined your life is with the internet today and how many things we do.
Intertwined, inseparable.
I know. You don't bank without the internet. You don't pay your bills. I mean, I don't need to tell you how the internet has touched your life. It's hard to think of things where the internet doesn't touch your life. And in 1995, it did not exist for all practical purposes.
I was watching The Crown last night on my TV on Netflix. I'm like, I usually make myself breakfast for the next day.
Yeah.
Like, I better make breakfast. So then I put the show on my phone, walked into the kitchen, watched it on, you know.
Yeah. And we had some people over last night, and we were all kind of sitting there watching TV, and we were watching Shameless. It's a family, which you should never do. You should never watch Shameless with your – I don't care how old you are or how old the kids are. If they are a product of you, you should not watch Shameless with family members. I mean, I'm still pretty hip. I'm into it. I know. I got it. And there are my kids. They're in their mid and late 20s. And there are scenes that will come on Shameless, which is one of the best shows on television, that you will regret being in the same room or having kids. But you will regret watching that show with your children, Shameless. The sex scenes. Well, I'll tell you what, though. If you want to see some sex on TV, just watch yourself some Shameless. Holy cow. But as we're watching TV... And questions pop up like, hey, weren't they on that one show or whatever? Everybody's got a device in their hands. Brenda's got her iPad. I'm over with my laptop. Grant, Nikki, and Griffin have iPhones. And we're just kind of all communicating, watching the TV, and interacting with the internet at the same time. That's just the way it is. It's 1:28. I need to pause here, but this does allow me at least to segue to something I also want to just comment on a little bit after the news, and that is what's happening in Saudi Arabia these days. Women are getting now a chance to not only drive, but it appears as though women will be able to go to the movies. It's not sure how they'll be able to watch the movies. Will they be able to sit with men? Will there be segregated areas, etc.? But I've been reading a little bit about what life is like for women in Saudi Arabia today. Boy, you talk about whiplash. We'll get to that in a little bit. We've got a couple of people to tell us what's happening in Alabama as well. I have my Salvation Army pen out.
Oh, no one noticed.
Just making a couple of notes here. It's this great pen the Salvation Army gave me. Kind of wonder why, don't you? On the one end is a writing point, and on the back end is a little Salvation Army bell. So when you take notes during a show, like, ooh, Steve said something really important and interesting. Make a note about that, John.
How much? How much do I have to contribute?
Speaking of which, Aleph, how much do we have in our virtual kettle for the Salvation Army?
You have $4,000 in donations in your Salvation Army red kettle.
$4,000, so that would be what percent?
That would be 40%.
40%.
Wow, she did that right off the top of her head.
I think she did.
That's impressive.
Nice.
What is that supposed to mean, Steve?
Even I can do what percentage 40 as of 4,000.
On the top of my Facebook page, I'm King John on Facebook. King John on Facebook. You'll find a link to our virtual kettle. Let's get to $10,000 and help the Salvation Army do the most good. So the special election is in Alabama tomorrow. Roy Moore is running against somebody else. And so... Roy Moore was not going to go on with Anderson Cooper on CNN.
Doug Jones.
Okay, so there's a guy. What's his name, Doug Jones?
Doug Jones.
Never heard of him. So there's somebody else running against this Roy Moore guy. And Roy Moore is just a fascinating character. You don't need me to tell you much about him, except that his spokesperson was on with Anderson Cooper on CNN a few nights ago. And I think we're all pretty good at this game now. If you go to go on the shows, you want to know what you're going to say. You need to have some sort of fallback phrases. Hers are Abortion Jones, not Doug Jones. We need nicknames in politics in America now because we're all 11. So nicknames are important. He is Abortion Jones. And then you need to have catchy, snappy phrases like, he's been through the fire and he's come out gold. Now that's good. Lynch mob media, that would be anybody that disagrees with you. The people are not going to be bullied or bought. You know, that sort of puts up a wall between you and the mainstream media or the liberals or the outsiders who want to influence your local election. I think on some level we can all appreciate that. The people of Alabama won't be bought or bullied. There it is again. We dare defend our rights. That's the logo, I guess, of Alabama. We dare defend our rights. So Anderson Cooper has questions about some of the crazy things that we've all heard about Roy Moore. And all he wants to do is ask the question and then have somebody from Roy Moore's camp tell him, are these crazy allegations about Roy Moore true or not? Or does he still stand by some of these things that he said? Because I'll be honest with you, some of the stuff I've heard, I don't think he really thinks. It's probably more nuanced than that. I don't know how believable this image is that I have of Roy Moore. So she's on one half of the screen. He's on the other half. This is Anderson Cooper, and are you ready to play it, Elif? I don't see Elif in there now. Are you ready to play it, Elif? And Roy Moore's spokesperson and Anderson Cooper. Hit it. No, she's not ready. All right, Elif will...
I've got it now.
Okay, here we go.
I want to quickly ask you, though, about where the judge stands on a number of issues that he's spoken of in the past, but not as much recently, because we haven't obviously been able to get to him directly. Does Judge Moore still believe that homosexual conduct should be illegal and that homosexuality is still the same thing as bestiality?
Well, I think that what Judge Roy Moore, and I can't answer that question,
you don't know
but
that.
I can answer.
Because that's
is
what
that
he said in the past.
I don't have
know.
That answer, but I can tell you what he does believe. If you want to talk about making sure we don't have sexual predators.
No, I'm not talking about sexual predators. I'm talking
girls.
About anybody who's homosexual, gay, lesbian people.
Let me answer, if I may. You got to let me answer, Cooper.
Okay, well, you're talking about predators,
excuse me,
so
Anderson,
that's not
Mr.
gay
Cooper.
People.
He wants to put out a welcome mat in front of these young girls. If you are a junior high school girl or if you are a high school girl, what Abortion Jones is saying is we're putting out a welcome mat to any boy who's feeling like a girl that day. He's free to walk into the bathroom, the locker room with his camera phone and shower with your daughter.
Right.
People
I've
of Alabama aren't
going
to take
times,
this radical position.
Can you
I can't
get back
tell
to us?
You I won't take
right.
your gun away.
Can you get back to
I
us on whether
said,
you...
I can't tell you I won't take your religious
can
liberty
Can I ask you
away.
As the spokesperson...
That's where Abortion Jones stands.
Can I ask you as a spokesperson, can you get back to us on whether or not he still believes that homosexuality should be illegal?
I believe that he believes the Bible and what
I'm
the Bible
asking,
has
can you
to
get
say
back to
is
us?
Something
if
his
you
opponent wants
if
to
If you don't
want to
answer that question, that's fine, but can you get back to us?
I can answer that. Yeah, I can look
it.
Into that for
can
you.
Can I ask you, does he still believe that 9/11 may have happened because, quote, we've distanced ourselves from God? Because that's what he said in the past. Does he still believe that?
This is the thing, that when a lot of people talk about God and how they're Christians. In fact, if you look at the commercials of Roy Moore's opponent, he's telling everybody what a great Christian he is and how he defends the Second Amendment.
You don't know the answer about 9/11.
The fact of the matter is, I don't know the answer to 9/11.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry,
Third
I don't
question.
Have that answer.
Does
but what
still
I will
believe,
tell you is that
does
the
he still
people
believe
of Alabama,
American citizen,
you got to let me respond, Anderson.
Well, because I know,
come on.
Okay, go ahead and respond.
What I want to respond is what the people of Alabama know. Their state motto, and I'm learning
which
it while
not,
I'm here,
from,
is that
right.
we dare defend our rights. And our rights are rights to life, our right to liberty, our right to bear arms, our right to a strong military, our right to secure borders. If you want to talk about protecting women, then we need to run from Roy Moore's opponent, who lets the Kate Steinle family says, you know what, so what if this guy is illegally immigrant? So what if he's a seven-time felon? We're not going to build the wall to keep him out because that's too expensive.
Okay.
I think the lives of Americans being lost are too expensive.
Okay,
and that's what's at stake in this race. And the okay. people of Alabama are not going to be fooled. They won't be bought, and they won't be bullied.
Okay, just like two more questions. Does he still believe an American citizen who's a Muslim should not be able to serve in Congress?
I think that what he's getting at there is that we believe in the rule of law by the Constitution, not Sharia law. And I think that's really the bottom line of what we're looking at.
Right, he said that Keith Ellison should not be allowed to use the
Koran. I have sworn
to
uphold the Constitution, and he'll lose his job if he has to stand for that Constitution.
So you don't know the
answer to
that
either. To stand for religious liberty.
Does he still believe that Keith Ellison shouldn't be allowed to swear on the Koran? If you want a guy
that's for women's rights, Anderson, then
I get you don't want to answer these questions, but I'd rather you just say you don't want to answer them rather than just ignore them. Does he still believe that there is Sharia law that exists, that communities in the U.S. are being ruled by Sharia law as he did in the past? Does he still believe that?
I think he sees that there is a movement toward that. If you look to...
That's not what he said. He said there are actually communities that are being run by Sharia law. Does he still believe that?
Well, there are communities overseas that are being run. I'm not sure if there are any here in America, but I know that there's a movement toward that. And he stands for the Constitution. Okay. That's what you know.
If you get back to us on that, that'd be great too. I'd love to hear his position. Does he still believe Barack Obama was important in the United States?
That is his position. I can tell you with some confidence that this is the guy that stood with the Constitution even when it cost him everything. You don't have to question that. We already know that. He's been through the fire, and he's come out gold. That's what the people of Alabama know, right. And they're not going to be bullied. They're not going to be told what to do by the lynch mob media, and they're not going to be told what to do by pro-abortion Democrats.
You're his spokesperson. I'm just trying to get his positions down. Does he still believe Barack Obama was important in the United States? Because he didn't believe that in the past.
You know what? That issue's kind of come and gone. I don't know. I just know that when I have to rent the library book or do anything else, I show my driver's license. I think that's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. But that's a birth certificate. That's a perfectly reasonable thing to do. You know, you can try to make the guy look really as bad as you can, but the people of Alabama know him.
I'm not trying to make him look bad. He's made public statements. I'm trying to find out if he still believes these public statements. Does he still believe that the U.S. is the focus of evil in the world because of same-sex marriage?
Pardon me?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
And then they started playing Christmas music, which I thought was odd.
With the kids jingle bells.
Maybe not a bad choice now that you think about it.
You be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time.
And then Anderson and his crew just started dancing around on the camera.
That sounds like one of those skits you write.
Happiest season of all.
And to his credit, Cooper was, he was not going to be kicked off his game. I'm just going to stay with the question. I'm not going to engage. I'm not going to get involved in your red herrings, your non sequiturs, or your pickled herrings. I'm just going to ask the questions. And then they dance.
There'll be parties for hosting marshmallows.
By the way, speaking of dancing, we went to the Old Town, we went to the Music Box Theater. Have you guys done this? Go to the Music Box Theater for the White Christmas sing-along and showing of the movie White Christmas. That is the dangest thing. That place is packed. We got our tickets well in advance. There was 10 of us. And I didn't know what I was getting into. But if you go to the Music Box Theater for their White Christmas show, the place will be packed with people who know the drill. They will have Christmas clothes on and lights blinking on them, and they'll be all dressed up in colorful Christmas garb. And it's a little like, I don't know, one of those participation movies where everybody is talking to the theater screen.
The Sound of Music when you sing along?
I haven't done a sing-along Sound of Music. There is one of those, though, isn't there, Steve? But like when they say snow, people start throwing fake snow in the air. Or they shout lines at. And when there's a particularly good or dorky scene, everybody just bursts into applause and they're cheering. It's the dangdest thing. It was exhausting. It was very fun. They start with about a half hour of sing-along. Santa comes out and we sort of sing to the bouncing ball on the screen. And then after that, they just roll the movie and people kind of interact with it. And if that's your... I've never done something like that, but I'm going to do it again this year. I've got tickets for another showing of it later this season. And it's very funny. It's very fun. They do a nice job over there at the Music Box. It's 1:48, and this is WGN. By the way, the big WGN Radio Holiday Spectacular, mark this down on your calendar or however you mark things down now, is going to be Friday, December 15th from 10 a.m. till noon. Friday, December 15th, this Friday, 10 a.m. till noon. Where will you be during what's normally the Bill and Wendy show? Bill will be there. Wendy's away. Doma Tipango will be filling in, and the two of them will take you through a Christmas wonderland of some of your favorite voices and some fun stuff here on WGN Radio. Sponsored by American Sale for the Christmas tree lights and holiday decor you've been looking for. Search AmericanSale.com. Financial planning is more than just getting from A to B. Lots of firms will do that, say, well, here's how much you have, here's how much you need. Let's divide by how many years you're going to work and get you there. But a private vista, they want to help you live a more enriched life once you do retire. They take an evolved approach to financial planning that intersects the two. Get the money and how are you going to live? To the Private Vista financial team, planning isn't just about money. So if you are recently divorced, if you're looking to sell your business, are you thinking about retiring soon? Talk to these people. Their trusted advisors will walk you through some of these difficult life transitions, and they'll help you not only achieve that number, but then imagine and live the life you want to live on the other side. That's just as important as getting to the number. Here's their number to call, 630-455-0600. Wouldn't it be nice to have a conversation with somebody about this? And it's not about fees and finances. It's more about who you are as a person. 630-455-0600. 630-455-0600. There have been a couple of stories lately about how in Saudi Arabia, women are able to drive now. They will be able to drive a shiny new Jaguar. And it's just remarkable. It reminds me of a story I don't have time to tell now, but my sister was not that long ago working in, she was the librarian at schools in that part of the world. She was actually, I think, exclusively in Qatar. She wasn't in Saudi Arabia. I don't even know if she went through Saudi Arabia, but she at least got a brush with that culture. And by that, I mean a very conservative one and one that has a sort of different religious base than ours does here. Jean was driving down the road one day, and the car in front of her, or no, she was driving down the road one day, and she came to a stop sign. The guy behind her didn't stop. He ran into her from behind. Crash. So they both get out of the car, survey the damage. And then she realized when the police pulled up that the problem wasn't going to be ascertaining what happened. It's pretty clear when you have a fender bender like that, that the guy behind didn't stop in time and rear-ended the car behind her. But he was a man and she was a female. And they had to find a way for this guy to save face. You can't say, well, it was his fault when it's a woman involved. So they all go down to the police station and she spent an Arlo Guthrie kind of afternoon over there working with the cops and this guy. And then finally she says, okay, the U.S. Embassy is going to hear about this. And then a whole bunch of fancy uniformed Qatar police officers and generals and lieutenants run around and get themselves in a dither. And finally they came up with a statement that both parties would agree to sign that would say what happened. Well, Jean doesn't speak Arabic. She doesn't read it. So she called a friend and said, come look at this and tell me if this is true. And it was a sort of modest statement of guilt on his part. Jean wasn't at fault, but they sure were going to try and give this guy something that said that he didn't do a terrible bad thing. And that was the way it was over there a few years ago. Well, women in Saudi Arabia can now drive. There's also a story out that says that commercial movie theaters are going to start being granted licenses. They don't have movie theaters there, but they expect in March that they will. This marks a watershed moment, the Minister of Culture and Information said. They're trying to reduce their reliance on oil. They want more people to come there as tourists, and they want the tourists from there to stay there rather than going to other parts of the world where they have movie theaters. So they said, I know, while we've got all this money, but we don't have any fun ways to spend it. Let's broaden our culture a little bit, give people shiny cars and movie theaters. The government hopes that opening movie theaters will act as a catalyst for economic growth. There are currently very few entertainment attractions in the conservative society of Saudi Arabia. Many Saudis visit neighboring countries for leisure time. Women are being given the right to drive, and from next year they will be allowed to enter sporting event venues. They'll be able to go to soccer matches. Men and women have already been mixing at major conferences, and the kingdom hosted a music concert this year. The Ministry of Culture said it plans to have 300 cinemas by 2030. So they're not sprinting to Hollywood, but they're on their way. And yeah, they'll probably cut out all of the scenes that they find objectionable. There was an article in The Week not that long ago, Six Things Women in Saudi Arabia Cannot Do. And it says, although women were not technically banned from driving under Saudi law, the authorities don't give them licenses, so it's a de facto ban. Many Islamic scholars justify the ban on the grounds that allowing women the means to travel without supervision would mean contact with unrelated men, and that would be a problem. The royal decree has come days after a senior cleric was banned from preaching after he claimed that women should not drive because their brains were a quarter of the size of a man's when they were distracted by shopping. Women were allowed to vote and stand as candidates in 2015, but only as recently as 2015 were women given the vote in Saudi Arabia or allowed to run for office. Women are required to limit the amount of time they spend with men to whom they are not related, so the majority of public buildings, offices, banks, and universities have separate entrances. Women have to swim in a separate pool. They have to ask permission to get surgery from their male guardian. Life in Saudi Arabia. Life in Chicago and America.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to. Here's John Williams.
There we go. It's 207. This is John Williams in the Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue in Chicago, which is on Earth, but maybe not everybody will be on Earth soon. The president and vice president just a moment ago made it the official policy of the United States government. They signed a proclamation, and that is urging the government and NASA to go back to the moon, and from the moon to Mars, and Mars, Mike Pence said, and beyond.
Interesting. What?
Wait, I want to take that back. Go ahead, Steve.
What do you mean, take it back?
Well, I laughed through my mouth like it was a ridiculous thing. I think it's great that we're going to Mars.
We're not going to Mars.
Well, we signed a proclamation.
You're either doing
one of two things. You're either going to try and go to Mars, or you're going to try and not go to Mars. And I'm on the side of trying to go to Mars.
Oh, I am too, but we're not going. And,
well, it's all right.
President Bush proposed going to Mars,
well,
too.
It's just fine. It's just an official proclamation saying that it's now the official policy of the United States that we are trying to go to Mars.
This is going to sound like I'm picking on the president, and I'm really not.
I'll be shocked if that happens. Go ahead.
So I was listening in my other ear when you were introducing me, mm-hmm. because I fully expected to go live to him to, because, you know, often when these events happen, the president will start by commenting on the news of the day. And we haven't heard from the president about the terror attack in New York City this morning.
Yeah.
So I just assumed that, you know, I would fade up and we'd listen to the president make a couple comments. He didn't
right.
do it.
Yeah, I was listening to it in queue as well.
He hasn't done it. And I don't know if it was the first lady or someone, or maybe it was Sarah Sanders spoke on his behalf at the briefing. But it's kind of interesting. And I bring it up this way, you know, so you know I'm not trying to be unfair. Governor Cuomo has other events that he went to today. He went to a Puerto Rican relief event and was trying to make news there.
Well, it wasn't so bad. I mean,
but that's my point. It's becoming normalized. What do you mean it wasn't so bad? A guy in a public arena tried to blow himself up and other people with him. And that's bad.
Yeah.
But now we're like, yeah, you know, no one was really bad.
Well, Las Vegas. It's no blah, 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 blah. I know our threshold for breaking news that the president has to comment on is a lot higher than it used to be.
Well, that's my point. Just the fact that, you know, these things are not as debilitating as they used to be.
It's kind of just you can't help but notice the words that the president uses when he talks spontaneously, when he magically goes from the script to his own ad libs and then back to the script. So he said, we are not just going to go to space, but we're going to go to the stars, and not just any stars. We're going to fly towards the big, beautiful stars. We're not interested in your ugly brown dwarfs or your dim red gassy giants. We're going to go to the big, beautiful stars. We want the shiny stars. Those are the ones that we're going to go to. Barack Obama never went to Mars. We're going to go to the moon. Then we're going to go to Mars. And we're going to go to Jupiter. We're going to do that all by Christmas. We're going to do it. You know, he was just kind of doing some of that.
He didn't go into Rocket Man, though, did he?
He did not. I thought, you know, little Rocket Man is blah, blah. You know, it's like, please, no, don't ad lib.
Standing behind me, a couple of our little Rocket Men.
Well, and there's Mike Pence, who evidently is still in the United States, but I believe he's supposed to be on a slow boat to some other part of the world pretty soon. Evidently, he hasn't made his way out east yet to Saudi Arabia or wherever he's supposed to go. Israel. He's going to go to Israel. I think he was going to go to Israel. I was just taking notes on that. By the way, Sam Panionovich just strolled into our Allstate Showcase Studio on Michigan Avenue from WGN Radio Sports. Sam, how are you?
I'm good. I actually thought you were kidding. I sat down. I woke up. I sleep in on Mondays because I'm off usually Mondays.
Yeah.
And you said, well, Trump says we're going to Mars. And I thought you were kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. He said
because
it
I wasn't
ago.
Listening. I was listening to my Christmas playlist on the way in. I wasn't listening to you, unfortunately.
Nice. What's on your Christmas playlist?
On the way in, as I parked, it was Christmas All Over Again by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Nice.
It shuffles, you know. It goes from song to song.
Yeah. We played from my Christmas shuffle last night or yesterday afternoon at our house.
When do you start?
I'm not crazy like some people are. Like Thanksgiving is a good day to start. I usually wait until I get a little into December. But we've had the Hallmark Channel on our house since August 13th. The Hallmark Channel Christmas movie. Yeah, whenever it is.
You
whenever
know,
they
you
start.
You want to make America great again?
Yeah.
You start by getting rid of the Hallmark Channel.
No, no.
All right, Grinch.
No. That's like a fireplace. We put the Hallmark Christmas movies on like a fireplace.
One of them ended last night. I yelled up, Sharon, did it work out okay in the movie?
Did the guy get the girl, Sharon?
Yes, and it started snowing right when they kissed.
By the way,
look at the background on those when they're snowing. Often you can see people in bathing suits on the beach behind them.
There's a band called 30 Seconds to Mars.
Nice.
I thought Trump might say 30 seconds. We'll get there in 30 seconds.
And now here's the band to take you out.
Where were I? Where was I? Sorry.
The Bears have now won two games in a row, Mr. Sports. How about them apples?
Is it two in a row? No, this is the first one they've won in six games.
Yeah. Oh,
they
no.
had lost five in
hold
a row.
Hold on, hold on. I'm getting my franchises mixed up. The Bulls have won two in a row.
Yes, yes.
The Bears have won one in a row.
They have won more than two, though.
Yeah, the Bears have won what now?
Bears are 4-9.
4-9.
They beat a Cincinnati Bengals team 33-7. The Bengals have clearly quit.
If we went out, can we be in the playoffs?
No.
Mathematically or otherwise, we
mathematically,
can't be...
we're donezo.
Yeah. And so then the question was, well, is this good or bad for the team? Because the better we are now, the worse our draft pick becomes. I'm of the school, like David Haw on the front page of the paper today, I'm of a school that everybody should go out and try and do their best every day, the coach and the players.
I don't think this was a bad loss because this team needed to win. This quarterback needed to win.
You don't think this was a bad win?
No, I don't think it was bad that they won. Some people I was arguing with yesterday, well, they shouldn't win because they need a higher draft pick. Look, it doesn't matter if you're picking fourth, fifth, or seventh. You have to be able to scout players no matter where you pick in the draft. And that's been the issue. I mean, the Kevin White pick has been awful. That was number seven. Leonard Floyd was nine. It's been boom bust. He's been good when he's on the field, but he's been hurt. Trubisky, it's only been, you know, a handful of games. But I think
what
this quarterback, Trubisky was number two.
He was the number two pick. Okay.
And they traded up to get the number two pick.
Yeah.
My thing is, this guy had lost five games in a row. And confidence is everything with a rookie quarterback. I mean, that's the most important position on your team is quarterback. And he needed a game like this. I thought he played really well. The numbers were awesome. I think it was something like 27 of 32. 25 of 32, 271 yards.
No interceptions.
One touchdown. He looked good. He commanded the offense. They were rolling him out, doing the bootlegs, the play actions. He looked like he was in command.
It looked like our offense play calling was more creative, too. Guys were moving around, and it just looked like, oh, there was a couple plays I went, now that was cool. What was that? That was a very interesting set and then play that they would run.
You didn't turn the game off if you were watching.
Yeah.
In the last 6 weeks, I think I turned it off three or four times because receivers were dropping passes. The running game couldn't get going. The offensive linemen were holding on almost every play. I mean, it was just ugly and sloppy the last five games. But to go out and get a win like this in dominant fashion, granted, you beat the Bengals who have mailed it in and caved up. It's still a win for this quarterback, and that's what I'm going to take from it.
Your podcast is called Chicken Dinner.
Yes, sir.
And there you talk about sports and the line on sports. What was the line on this game?
I took the Bears plus six.
Six. So
and they won by 26.
I know.
Right.
Whew.
They were supposed to lose by six.
So is that a more reflection on just how Cleveland mailed it in?
Cincinnati.
Whatever. They have a C.
Some obscure Ohio
it's
City.
It's an Ohio City with a C. I think I get points for that.
You do. Yeah, I mean, Cleveland, Cincinnati, they all suck.
Did Cleveland play yesterday?
Cleveland almost won. They are now 0-13. They lost to the Packers. And this is interesting because there's a quarterback by the name of Aaron Rodgers who will be cleared to play soon.
Nice.
And the Packers are only a game out of the wild card. And they keep winning without Aaron Rodgers. And he's been throwing at practice, and he's been zipping the ball around. He may come back sooner than people think.
What if the Bears win a lot of their games that remain, and Trubisky looks good, and John Fox doesn't screw up? Is there any scenario in which he gets to keep his job?
I hope not. I really hope not. They've got the Lions in Detroit. Then they play Cleveland on Christmas Eve. New Year's Eve, they'll play at Minnesota. They'll lose that game for sure because Minnesota's going to jockey for home field. Yeah, they lost yesterday, but still, they're really impressive.
The Vikings could be playing the Super Bowl at home. Amazing.
Well, did you see what happened to Philadelphia's quarterback, Carson Wentz?
What, he hurt his arm or something?
Torn ACL.
Yeah. So what does that mean to me and the price of tea in China? What's that got to do with anything?
It means that that's a really good thing for the Vikings.
Yeah.
That means
yeah.
the Vikings have a clear path to go play a Super Bowl at home.
Tell me a story, though, about a team that was terrible one year and the next year they were in the Super Bowl.
Tell you a story about a team that was terrible one year, the next year they were in the Super Bowl.
I don't have any team in mind. I'm just wondering, has that happened? That happens a lot, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly happens. I wouldn't say a lot, but I mean, in the NFL, turnaround happens really quickly. In fact, you know, I think in the NFC South, Carolina went from last place to the Super Bowl when they lost to Denver. The following year, Atlanta went from last in their division to the Super Bowl, and they should have won that Super Bowl. So it does happen. I mean, there are only a couple different things, you know, that a football team can change. You can change a coaching staff, you can get a new coordinator, you sign a star player, you draft the missing piece of the puzzle. I think it's easier in football than any other sport to make a couple different moves, and you can turn this thing around. The jump in football, you can go from a 5-win team to an 11-win team in one season.
Yeah.
In basketball, not the case,
not
as you'll
happen.
Find out with the Bulls over the next 5 years.
Yeah, but the Bulls did win two games in a row. Let's just talk about that for a second.
They're 2-0 with the Serbian sniper, Mirotić.
Mirotić is back.
Imagine if they didn't punch him in the offseason.
Well, did you see the game that he came back? Was it the Knicks?
He played against Charlotte, and then he played really well against the Knicks.
He was awesome against New York. I was like, holy cow, I would have given this guy the rest of the season to kind of get his mojo back. Or, you know, I'd given him a couple of weeks. He looked really good in that game.
He did.
And he was not afraid to shoot the ball either.
Well, he's not a veteran because he hasn't been around 10 years, but on this team, he's a veteran. Him and Robin Lopez are the guys that have been in the league, I think, the longest, because it's a bunch of young players that have been in the league 3 years or less. Bulls now 5-20, baby. They're right on pace for, 17, 18 wins.
That was your prediction at the beginning of the season. At this rate, you're going to be wrong.
Well, the over-under in Vegas was 21.
21.
21 was the win total, over-under.
We're right on that mark right now. By the way, you pick five games in a national pool.
I'm dead.
Every week.
I'm dead.
You picked the Bears, so you got that one right. How did you do on the five games against the spread this week?
I went 2-3. I had Carolina over Minnesota, but then I lost. I had the Steelers, and they didn't cover against the Ravens. I had the Redskins. They got blown up by the Chargers. The fifth game escapes me. All that matters is we're not winning $1 million.
Okay.
We'll move to next year. We'll hope that we go from last to first next year. How about that?
What's the matter with the Blackhawks?
It's a good question. Now, you know, there are two thoughts on that. Are you happy with them getting 4 points because they beat Buffalo and Arizona and they needed two wins in the worst of ways? Or are you perplexed because those two teams are the worst in their conferences and it took overtime to beat Buffalo and it took the third period to beat Arizona?
And the
right?
Buffalo game didn't, was that the one where we had a shorthanded goal too?
To tie, yeah. Tommy Wingles has been the hero in the third period.
Well, that's an improbable way to win a game.
Could you pick Tommy Wingles out of a lineup?
I didn't know we had a player named Tommy Wingles.
He's from Wilmette.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's a local guy.
Hey, how did the how did the quarterback from Army do from Chicago?
Bradshaw, he scored the game-winning touchdown 2 years in a row against
Navy. Nice.
Army beat Navy in a snowstorm.
That was fun to watch.
It was cool. But on the Blackhawks, their best players have to be their best players. I mean, Patrick Kane finally scored for the first time in five games. Richard Panik hasn't scored in 20 games. He was on the top line. Saad hasn't scored. Taves hasn't scored. Keith and Seabrook have been wishy-washy. Your best players in hockey, when you make that much money, they have to carry the bread, and they have it.
Are you interested in some of these trade deals or things I'm reading about in the paper about the Cubs signing some players?
Yeah, well, they wanted Shohei Ohtani, the Japanese all-star. He signed with the Angels. Then it was reported that...
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. How do you say that guy's name?
Shohei Ohtani.
All right, everybody, Shohei Ohtani. I've seen it, and I know he's a thing, but I
S-H-O-H-E-I, Shohei.
Shohei Ohtani.
O-T-A-N-I.
Stevie, you're writing that down. It's Shohei Ohtani. Shohei Ohtani. Repeat after me.
Shohei Ohtani.
Thank you, Violetta. Not that I'll be asking you to...
Who are you calling a Ohtani?
Sounds like a nice drink.
Steve was just having trouble with that the other day, and I wanted to make sure that he had a good read on that.
If there's one thing I have to do in sports, it's pronounce all these names.
Yeah, no kidding.
And if I can do it in hockey, I can do it in any sport.
Well, have the Cubs changed their team for better or worse appreciably so far?
They signed a couple guys. They signed Chatwood to start. He's going to be their fourth starter. They're looking at Alex Cobb, who will round out the rotation, I imagine, which means Arrieta, Lackey likely both gone. They didn't get Ohtani. They whiffed on him. They tried to get in the Stanton sweepstakes, but he was traded to New York. Now the rumor is, you know, as we did last offseason too, are they trading Schwarber? I wouldn't trade him. you see he lost like 30 pounds. He's been trim. He's fit.
Really?
Yeah. He looks
I would
like
advise against that. I don't know if that's a good idea for him.
He's never played a full season yet. And last year wasn't even a good year. He hit 30 home runs.
Is there any chance that we're going to get Bryce Harper?
I'd say 40-60, no. I think 60% chance you don't get him, 40% yes. That friendship with him and Chris Bryant is huge because they grew up together in Vegas, and they are really good friends. You're going to have to fork over $400, $500 million, though. Are you going to sign that check?
Oh, I am not. I am not.
Even
for Bryce Harper?
Bryce, oh, yeah.
I would not. I would not. No, I would not.
That's how much it's going to cost. It's going to cost $400 or $500 million.
All right, let me just ask my friends here. Steve, would you give $400 or $500 million for Bryce Harper? Yes or no?
I'm going to say no.
Violetta, yes or no? $400 million, Bryce Harper.
I'm not giving anyone $400 million.
That's where I am. But Kevin's in the sports office, getting ready to talk to Ro. I'm not sure he's listening right now. This is why I do not own a franchise of any professional caliber, because I am constitutionally opposed. Unless they said, "Hey, if you give this guy $500 million, he will cure cancer."
He won't.
But if he may be pretty good. Hey, that may no. I'm not giving. Are you kidding me? I worked hard to get $500 million. I'm not giving you $500 million.
That's how much it'll cost.
You're 27 years old. I'm not giving you $500 million.
Oh, let's not throw the number in there.
Would you do it for $300 million?
No, I'm saying his youth.
Yeah, but that does kind of bug me. I mean, I don't know why. That's
because you're older.
I know. That's so ageist, and it's a terrible thing to think and feel. But I'm not.
He's 25 and might be the best player in baseball.
Okay.
For what it's worth.
So, and you thought he was 27.
I know. I just gave him 2 more years. So what are you going to do? Will you pay him that money?
I would not pay him, although they could afford it, because when the Cubs launch their TV network, yeah, it'll be worth billions.
All right, Sam. So you're going to pick 5 more games this week, and I will talk to you on our show on Saturday.
You got it.
And then we'll round things back up again on Monday.
Bok, bok, bok.
That's Chicken Dinner. That's the podcast you want to listen to for all things Sam Panionovich and sports. I'm looking at the Golden Globes nominations for 2018 by motion picture. The movie that has the most nominations is The Shape of Water. Really looking forward to seeing that.
Have you seen two different trailers for that?
I think I have.
Okay, because I had only seen the one general, like the PG trailer, Forever and Ever and Ever.
Oh, yeah.
And then last week we saw the R-rated trailer.
Yeah.
It's a completely different movie. Depending on the trailer,
it's more about the relationship between her and that.
Yeah,
thing.
You know, we didn't know
salamander,
gunfire, or Nazis. The Nazis aren't mentioned in one of the trailers. It's really weird.
It's funny how they do that, isn't it? So, The Shape of Water has 7 nominations. The Post with Meryl Streep, Tom Hanks. Boy, am I looking forward to that. 6 nominations. 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri has 6. Those are your big 3 movies for Golden Globe nominations. 3 Billboards Outside Ebbing, which Griffin and I saw and talked about over the weekend. My producer, Griffin, didn't like it as much as I did. I thought it was terrific. Griffin liked it. The Post and The Shape of Water, the big 3. Lady Bird has 4 nominations. And then All the Money in the World, Call Me by Your Name, Dunkirk, the most frustrating movie I've seen in a long time, got 3. The Greatest Showman and I, Tonya, also with 3 nominations for various categories. If you want just Best Motion Picture Drama, it's Call Me By Your Name, Dunkirk, The Post, The Shape of Water, and 3 Billboards are the nominees. It's 2:28. Okay, we want to talk a little bit more specifically about what's going on in Alabama tomorrow with this special election. Philip Bump is a terrific correspondent for the Washington Post. He's been on with us a few times. He's going to join us. And also, there's a guy that does political commentary for a radio station in what city is the radio station?
It's in Mobile, Alabama.
Mobile.
Yeah, Mobile.
Do you say Mobile or Mobile?
In general, Mobile. I say Mobile.
I say Mobile.
No, it's Mobile.
It's okay. Mobile. So anyway.
Bye.
No. So he's the political commentator for the station of Mobile?
Yes.
All right.
And it's News Radio 710, which is only 10 less than our 720. Isn't that interesting?
Moderately.
Bye.
I'm going to get back to you on that. And also, and his name is Uncle Buck. What's the name of the guy that we're talking to?
Very close, just off by a few letters.
Uncle
Henry.
Uncle Henry will join us after the news. And by the way, that is legit and that is for real, and the news is coming up. The president has not commented on the terrorism action in New York today. I'm just reading his last tweet. I keep waiting to see if he's going to say something about it just because I follow the president. But his last tweet was 6 hours ago, and it was this: another false story this time in the failing at New York Times, that I watch 4 to 8 hours of television a day. Wrong exclamation point. Also, I seldom, if ever, watch CNN or MSNBC, both of which I consider fake news. I never watch Don Lemon, who I once called the dumbest man on television, bad reporting. That's one tweet and is all the explanation you need for why we should not have expanded the character count in Twitter. But that was the last thing that he commented on.
I think the administration has commented. Like I said, Sarah Sanders had a comment during the briefing, but not the president directly himself.
It's 2:38. Speaking of the president, he is endorsing Roy Moore. We reached out to Philip Bump. He's the Washington Post national correspondent, to get a preview of how the Washington Post sees this election going in Alabama. Tomorrow is the day. And boy, if ever there was a special election the whole country was watching, Philip, it is this one. Wouldn't you agree?
This is definitely up there. I mean, between the fact that everyone's paying more attention to politics here, it seems like, the timing of this, and then, of course, all the allegations involving Roy Moore. Yeah, I think you're exactly right.
I don't know. Was it you or somebody else? Maybe it was an editor I talked to last week down there, but they said that the longer between the first allegations against Roy Moore and the election itself, the better. And that does seem to be playing out. The last poll I saw shows him with an advantage. What are you seeing about that?
Yes, it is definitely advantageous for Moore to have more time to be able to. I think one of the things that we see is supporters are react to news, negative news like that, pretty strongly right out of the bat. Or right out of the gate, and then they sort of slowly come back on board. And so the more time he has to have people come back on board, the better it is for him. So there were a spate of polls after the first allegations came out that showed the Democrat Doug Jones either catching up with or overtaking Moore. Some of the more recent polling, however, suggests that Moore has a slight lead, but there's a huge asterisk that applies to all these polls, which is we don't know who's going to come out and vote.
Because it's a special election?
Because it's a special election, because it's 2 weeks before Christmas, because this is a heavily red state, but the Republican who's on the ticket has these really, really extreme accusations that are hanging over his head. Not only that, but even before that, he was a controversial figure who tended to underperform as a Republican. This is the year of Trump. Trump's very unpopular, and so he's not going to be inspiring Republicans in the way that other presidents might. There are all these factors that make it really, really hard to determine who's actually going to vote. If you don't know that, it's hard to actually poll accurately.
I guess they're not coattails because Donald Trump's not on the ticket, but you don't think Donald Trump's endorsing Roy Moore helps Roy Moore? That's a good thing for Roy Moore, right?
Honestly, it's hard to say, right? I mean, because one of the things we saw is in the primary, Donald Trump actually came out and supported Roy Moore's opponent, and his opponent lost. It doesn't seem to have had any effect what Trump said. And what it may end up doing is there is a big push right now. There are Democrats tend to be overperforming in a lot of races across the country, and part of that is Democratic opposition being fired up by Donald Trump. And so I don't know. Again, this is one of the question marks. Is this actually a net negative? Having Donald Trump be so forcefully in favor of Moore, does that inspire a lot of Democrats to say, you know what, wasn't going to vote, but if Trump likes this guy, I hate him, and I'm going to go to the polls.
You did an analysis, and this is a radio. We can't get visual here like you can in print, but you did an analysis of how this could go either way. There are people that are absolutely going to vote for Jones and Moore, and then there's a bunch of people in the middle. In general, what are you saying about that middle group?
I mean, this is the question mark, right? And so there are always going to be people who always go to the polls. They tend to be older, wealthier voters. They tend to favor the Republicans in most races. Again, this is Alabama. It's a very red state. In any other circumstance, this wouldn't even be a question of who is going to end up winning the race. But the question is, do younger voters come out in opposition to Trump, in opposition to Moore? Do African-American voters turn out to the extent that they normally do? Are white women, for example, there was a poll, Fox News did a poll in October before the allegations and then one afterward, and Moore's numbers among women totally cratered. And Fox still has Moore down significantly, but are those women going to come out to the polls and vote against Roy Moore? It's really hard to say.
I was watching the CBS Morning News today, and they had their conservative pollster talk to a bank of women from Alabama. There were men there, too, but he said, do you believe these women? And they all pretty much felt the women were lying, that Roy Moore is not guilty of the charges against him. I don't know if you have anything to say about that, but is the credibility of these women maybe in play here?
So one of the overarching factors here in all recent elections, but this one in particular, is how dominant partisanship is in people's decision-making these days. People want to be able to vote for a Republican because Republicans are extremely skeptical of Democrats and vice versa. More than half of Democrats and Republicans see the other party as an actual threat to the country. And so if you have a Democrat against a Republican, almost anywhere it's going to inspire a lot of partisanship. But here what Moore has done successfully is he's raised enough questions about these accusations, picking up on little tiny things just to give his supporters the space to be able to say, well, that may or may not be true, and I really want a Democrat, or I really want a Republican in the Senate. So
right.
Roy Moore.
So yeah, if you want to vote for Roy Moore, you can take to that signature from Roy Moore in the yearbook, and since that woman has now said that she wrote some of the information under his signature, that therefore she's lying, when in fact both things could be true. He could have pursued her. That's his signature in the yearbook, but she lied about writing some other things underneath. And that's all the window they need to justify saying that they don't believe that woman.
That's exactly right. And we're seeing to justify, well, if this thing was made up, this story was made up, then I don't believe any of this. And, you know, Roy Moore is being unjustly targeted and yada, yada, yada. And this goes back to your point as well about how the more time that passes. Obviously, when these allegations first come out, Moore doesn't have time to raise these sorts of questions. And let me just be very clear here. There is no indication that we have seen, there's no evidence that these women are not telling the truth about what happened. I mean, the Post obviously broke a lot of these stories, so I'm defending my own institution to some extent, but that evidence doesn't exist. However, Moore took advantage of the fact that there was this big window, and it's something we saw Donald Trump do last year, right? When in early October, he had the same sorts of allegations come out, and over the course of a month, he was able to sort of his supporters were able to sort of weather away those accusations until they felt comfortable with them. We saw Moore do something similar this year.
One last thing about that. Do you think that matters? That is, I'm willing to believe that there's a population of people in Alabama and across the country who, in fact, would believe the charges. They still don't care. It's too important to keep the Senate Republican. Maybe this issue doesn't even matter as much as we might think.
No, that's exactly right. And in fact, we heard the Republican governor of Alabama say almost exactly that, that she did find these women credible. She did think these allegations were disturbing, but she wanted to make sure there was a Republican in the Senate who could approve Republican conservative judicial nominees. And so that's why she was supporting Roy Moore. So again, partisanship is an extremely powerful thing. And for a lot of folks, that is much more important than these allegations against Roy Moore.
All right, let's visit again, Philip. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. I appreciate you being flexible with us today, and I always appreciate reading you and you coming on our show. Let's visit again down the road, all right?
You bet. Thank you, sir.
National correspondent for the Washington Post, Philip Bump, on News Radio 710 in Mobile, Alabama. There's a guy who does, I believe, it's either political commentary or he's the host of the show. His name is Henry Peddington. He goes by Uncle Henry down there, and he joins us now on WGN. Henry, it's John. You're on WGN in Chicago. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
What shift are you on? When do you, 9 a.m.? Is that when you're on the air down there?
I'm on 5 to 9, mm-hmm. Early riser.
Now you're the morning guy down there in Mobile, Alabama, and it's a news radio station. So do you just do news, or do you do talk like we do here at WGN as well?
We do both. We do news. We take phone calls.
Yeah. What have you been hearing? What are folks in Mobile saying about this election tomorrow?
Well, it is the most tortured election we've had in a lifetime. No one really knows how this is going to go. Ordinarily, we are the reddest state in the country, and it would be Roy Moore by double digits. But we're not sure. We've got it in December, as you were talking with your last guest about. We've got these allegations. We have no idea who's going to show up to vote. And this is the first election that I've encountered, John, that I have Republicans coming to me and have been coming to me ever since these allegations about Roy Moore, saying that they couldn't decide what they were going to do. They couldn't decide if they were going to go vote at all or if they were just going to sit it out.
Right. Nobody's trying to make up their mind. And I would guess this would be the case, Henry, that nobody's trying to decide if they're going to vote for Moore or Jones, but vote for Jones or not at all, Moore or not at all. Nobody's going to switch
right.
their vote. Yeah,
exactly. People are deciding, the Republicans I talk to, none of them want to vote for the Democrat candidate because of all the reasons that you're aware of, that they don't want to put a Democrat into the Senate with the balance of power so tight. So they're trying to figure out, do they hold their nose and vote for Roy Moore, or do they just sit at home and let somebody else do the dirty
work?
Do
me a favor. Make the best case you can for me for Jones. I mean, you know, all we know is, you know, here in Chicago, I think the rest of the country is this is a referendum on Moore, this crazy guy Moore, and to some extent the president. But really, it's just about this Moore guy. Make the case that Jones would be a good representative for your state.
That's a hard case to make. And that's because we haven't elected a Democrat on a statewide level since 2008.
But he's a qualified guy. He's intelligent. He's been in politics for a while.
He's a qualified guy. The case to vote for him with a gun against my head is that if we're trying to recruit outside industry, which we are, and we've been on a roll, we've had several great years of attracting business, great industry to Alabama. If we want to continue to attract business and get more jobs for our state, we don't want to put a guy like Roy Moore in that Doug Jones has a better resume. He doesn't embarrass us as much as Roy Moore might embarrass us to the nation. Other than that, we're going to get the same type of federal perks and attention that we would get whether it's a Republican or a Democrat, because we're one of the poorest states in the country. So it's a very thin argument for voting for Doug Jones just on his merits.
Yeah. Boy, it's a hell of a decision to have to make then, right? I mean, if you are a Republican in principle and you really want that vote on a federal level, you're going to forsake all of that because Roy Moore is this tainted character, or do you go with Roy Moore because those principles large are more important than his personal failings, you know?
Let me share this with you, because I heard your last conversation where you were trying to work through this. A lot of people don't take into account our history. We have a rich history of corrupt politics, like a lot of other places, where voters assume that they are being taken advantage of, and we can point to where we have been taken advantage of by politicians, dirty tricks in political campaigns. So when you have allegations like this pop up, just as Roy Moore gets into the primary against the Democrat, 38 years these women have waited to come forward. For a lot of Alabama Republicans, that's reasonable doubt. Just because of the timing alone. Mm-hmm. Forget how convincing some of these women are. It's the timing. See, we just had a primary that Roy Moore won. He beat Luther Strange, who was the incumbent senator, and Mitch McConnell and different political action committees spent $30 million in the state trying to defeat Roy Moore, and they couldn't defeat him. And if they couldn't dredge up these women, if they had $30 million to spend and they couldn't dredge these women up, then it creates that reasonable doubt of why are they showing up right now with only weeks to go.
Do you have a sense?
I know there, some of them are very plausible,
yeah.
But if you're an Alabamian raised on corrupt politics, you see this and you go, okay, there's my reasonable doubt. Now I can go ahead and vote for Roy Moore.
Does the president's endorsing Roy Moore change the vote much, do you think?
Reinforces it, maybe adds a little extra. There were probably a lot of people that wanted to vote for Roy Moore that didn't want anybody to know about it. You rarely see Roy Moore signs. Maybe have been a little embarrassed to vote for Roy Moore, but when the president comes out and says vote for Roy Moore, get a little jump to their step. Stand up a little bit taller and yeah. Feel better about voting for Roy Moore.
You got a guess on this tomorrow, Henry?
Oh, I would have to guess Roy Moore, maybe by 10.
Wow. That'll be and then would you just go back to your last point, and then I'll let you go. This is very interesting. I sure appreciate your time. But I wonder then if people are then going to say, oh, boy, now what have we done? A, we've sent that guy. That's a commentary on our state. There will be hell to pay. People are going to vacation there less. Maybe some company's not going to locate there now.
Well, the people, I don't know that voters are going to regret it as much as look, when Roy Moore ran in the primary against Luther Strange, another Republican, got 218,000 votes. Those 218,000 Republicans, none of them are showing up for Roy Moore. And they're going to be the ones, along with the Democrats in the state, they're going to be wringing their hands and having nightmares over this.
Hmm. All right. Well, listen, we get down Mobile. We'll make sure we listen to AM 710 between 6 and 9 in the morning. Is that 5 to 9 in the morning? Is that your show, Henry?
That's it.
Uncle Henry in the morning on what are the call letters there?
WNTM.
WNTM. Hey, listen, maybe we'll visit with you again down the road sooner than later. It's nice to talk to you today.
It would be thrilling. Thank you.
Have a good time. Have a good day. Have a good time, too. We'll follow that story tomorrow as well. It's 2:56 on WGN. The epic Rokan and Anna DeVlantis in the studio.
Am I epic, too?
You are also epic.
Oh, thank
You're
you.
Even epicer.
The epicest.
Super totally epic.
All right, we'll stop.
Epic her. I like that. There's a hashtag in there somewhere.
Yeah, there is.
Epic H-E-R. But then people go, it's epicure. What does that mean? I don't know.
That's right.
I epicure. Confuse people.
Head. Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's going on, campers?
Okay, let me share a few things with you. On the program, Ben Bradley is going to join us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about whatever's happening here in Chicago. But then there's a little bit of a change in the schedule. Ed Obradovich, please adjust your scorecards.
Yep.
Ed Obradovich will be here at 3:40 today.
OB.
And
what's he sound like after a win? I wonder what that'll be.
I've never
sure
heard
I remember.
It. I've only heard it three times.
He's going,
and
I can't believe we won. This is
I'm happy we won.
Two of those three wins we shouldn't have won, and the one win was where the guy stopped in front of the in end zone and dropped the ball. So there was a lot to talk about that day. So we'll see. But a win.
But this is a win-win-win-win.
The Bears haven't had a win like this in 5 years, essentially.
Wouldn't it be a scandal if we found out that was a different team wearing our uniforms?
I would. Actually, that would be very helpful. That would be welcome. So we'll talk to Obi about that at 3:40. Skilling will tell us that there's snow heading in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we'll let you know what's going to happen, what the commute home is going to look like.
Today?
We
got snow coming today?
Yeah.
Right here on WGN Radio, we've been talking about that.
Yeah,
listening to Skilling.
I kind of tune out sometimes during the forecast.
Do I have that wrong?
Sorry, Judy. Sorry, everybody. I'm sure we've been saying that all day. I'm busy during the weather part.
Well, you're
going
to have to stay tuned for Tom Skilling. Yeah, he's going to tell us.
That's what I believe is happening. Maybe Tom will tell me that I'm totally. Kelly, you're totally wrong.
Yeah, he might tell you something else.
Uh oh.
Is that
Judy
really?
Seems to confirm.
You don't have to tease it. It's news. It's weather. What?
I don't have that.
Well, I'll tell you. It depends on what part of the metro you're listening to us in.
I thought I had it. Oh, good. Well, that's great. Then that's even better. But he'll still be here. And then A.B. Stoddard will be here. And they'll get you through. That's the first 2 hours. Don't worry
about
it
after
that.
Just as I go, I got to go. But Corey Lewandowski.
Out with his Woo-hoo! New book.
Yeah, I think we're going
to. Let Trump be Trump.
We might be interviewing him tomorrow.
Okay. Oh.
So, but listen anyway,
say
folks.
Say hello for me.
That'll be tomorrow.